Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Elena Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about the importance of vitamins and supplements in our daily regime. Are they worth the money? Are they worth the investment? Are there other alternatives for helping us to provide our bodies with the necessary nutritional needs? My guest this evening is Karen Howard, Executive Director of Organic and Natural Health Association. She spent more than 30 years working with Congress, state legislatures, and healthcare organizations to develop innovative healthcare policy and programs. Karen Howard has served as executive director for both the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians and the Association of Accredited Naturopathic Medical Schools. It is a pleasure to welcome Karen Howard to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome, Karen Howard.
Thank you very much.
Tell me, how did you become interested in this kind of work?
I tell you, I had a journey that I worked with virtually every managed care company in the country. Having started my whole life, my life in D.C. on Capitol Hill, like so many of us have, and after 9/11, I made a decision that I wanted to go back to nonprofit roots and do something that actually served, and found my way into the naturopathic world, and it changed my life.
How did it change your life?
You know, for the first time, I've always been really healthy, ate what I thought was pretty well, and exercised, and I began to realize that there's a more comprehensive way of looking at health in terms of water, air, sleep, and your spiritual life, and I really began to explore what it was in the medicine that was being so carefully tended to by this very wonderful group of people, small and mighty as they are. And I changed the diet of my family quite significantly and saw immediate health results. If I had known what I knew for my little ones, the ear infections would have never happened. And I've never looked back, and I made a commitment that I wanted to stay in this industry and be able to do work that served all the people who got me to where I am and all those grandchildren and their grandchildren someday.
So you found by experience and exploration and experimentation, is that accurate?
It is. I mean, my daughter had allergies and problems, and nothing was really changing with that. So when I took her to a naturopathic doctor, the first thing they did was take her off wheat in the mornings. That was the only time she really ate that, and gave her her own homeopathic remedy, and it went away immediately.
Ah, and what was the homeopathic remedy that they gave her?
It was actually created for her.
And can you explain what that was?
You know, it's been so many years ago, Ellie, I don't think I can remember what was in it. But I'll tell you what, she remembers that it worked. And then when she actually had the swine flu many years later, I was on the phone with one of my favorite practitioners, and Sophia said to me, "Mom, my tongue is white." And this particular doctor said, "Go get mercury right away at the store and start her on that." And I watched her health improve over a 24-hour period that was mind-boggling to me.
What did he recommend?
It was mercury.
Mercury.
I can't remember what the actual name that they use in homeopathy is, but
right.
It's actually the homeopathic mercury.
Right. Well, I know I came to understand the importance of natural processes in my own life many years ago. My husband died, and somehow or other I became bronchial, and I had this cough. And I coughed and bronchitis. I also landed in the hospital with bronchial pneumonia, and my doctor was very good and very supportive. He gave me this medicine, he gave me that medicine. Somehow or other, nothing he gave me was working. And not only that, but my body was responding by blowing up and gaining weight. And after a few months, I said, there must be a better way. And we had in our community a natural food store, and I said, I can't do this medicine anymore. It's not working. And I went to him and he, to the natural food store, and he gave me some guidance on supplements and herbs, etc. And within about a couple of months, 2 or 3 months, I was better. The bronchial congestion and bronchitis had all disappeared. And when I went to my back to my doctor, he listened to my chest and he says, "Oh, very good, very good." And then he was writing out a prescription. I said, "Doctor, why are you writing out a prescription? You said my chest was very good." He said, "All right, I respect you." And he tore up the prescription.
So we should have more success stories like that to share with people.
So since then, I have been watching, using supplements and any other natural ways of healing. So how do you help people decide, do you have something to do with to help people decide which supplements, or that's not in your field?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you ask the question, because what we really are created to do at our core is that we really want people to be able to do exactly what you're talking about, be able to manage their health, get all the tools and the information they need to be able to do that. And that's not just supplements, but that's from the whole food supply chain. So we delve into these issues pretty deep. And what we realized early on was that there are basically 15 nutrients where the public is really suffering from deficiency.
Can you give us an example?
As an example, yes. Vitamin D, like 70 to 80% of the population is deficient, so much so that there's actually an increase in rickets in the country.
And how do you suggest people get that supplementation of vitamin D? Through a supplement, through food? How do you suggest?
Well, vitamin D is a pretty easy one to talk about, because you can't really eat your way to a healthy vitamin D level. I mean, you may have fortified milk with vitamin D, and there are a few other places to get D, but you'd have to eat like an entire truckload of kale to be able to get the kind of vitamin D that we need. And here's what the big problem is with D. Our body is meant to make vitamin D through our skin. It's our largest organ. But back in the 60s, when everybody was told, or 70s, whenever this all hit, that everybody needed to have sunscreen on at all times, our bodies quit manufacturing vitamin D, because you need to be in the sun for at least 20 minutes at high noon during the day with no sunscreen on 3 times a week. And if you have darker skin, even more. So our lifestyles do not really allow for this anymore, which is why we're seeing such huge increases in problems around vitamin D deficiency. So yes, it's supplements in this case. There's not much option.
And is it just the vitamin D? Do you recommend, are you talking about vitamin D3 and as something go along with it, or just the vitamin D3 is enough?
Oh, another great question. So we do recommend D3. The research that we're doing in a large population-based field trial shows that vitamin D3 is much more effective. Vitamin D2 is plant-based and doesn't seem to have as much of the effectiveness that D3 has. But the real issue is almost everybody's going to the doctor and getting their vitamin D levels measured, but they're not really paying a lot of attention to what the results are. So people walk around and they say, "Yeah, I think it's low." And there have been some interesting things happen in the science community where a mathematical error was made around vitamin D, so the recommendations are wrong. And the Institutes of Medicine know that. They just haven't really done anything to fix it. So all these practitioners in the world think that your level, if you take 400 international units of vitamin D, that should be sufficient, and your level should be, around that 20 nanograms per milliliter. But it's wrong, mathematically wrong. And what our research has shown with these 12,000 people that have been in the study for around 6 years is that you need to have a level between 40 and 60 nanograms per milliliter. So you need to measure, and this is really what we say, like, know your levels, live life well. So you need to measure and know what your levels are, so you know if you're taking the right amount or not, because you may need 2,000 and I may need 5,000 IUs. Well, I take 5,000 every day.
That's very helpful to hear, because I haven't heard anybody mention the level. So you're saying that some people might need 5,000 milligrams and other people might need less. Is that what you're saying?
It's very different. Yeah, it differs very much from person to person. And some people can take it, they'll take it at the wrong time. It's a fat-soluble vitamin, so you need to take it with food. And if you're not doing that, you may not be absorbing it effectively into your body. We also think that there's a relationship with magnesium. So people who have higher levels of magnesium tend to have better levels of vitamin D.
Very interesting. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And my guest this evening is Karen Howard, who is the Executive Director of Organic and Natural Health Associations based in Washington, D.C. And we're talking about policy expertise in the diverse areas of integrative and complementary medicine. So that's a very interesting thing. So you're saying that if you're taking vitamin D3, you should be taking it with magnesium.
We think so. We're getting ready to add magnesium into our study cohort so we can get more information on that to see what kind of impact it has. We have a few people who don't take actually any dietary supplements in the study, but they still have a high vitamin D level. So it makes us curious. And I think the really important thing for your listeners about this is, you know, all those studies that come up that say, oh, vitamins and minerals, they don't do anything for your health. The reality is that a lot of this work is done in the clinical trial mentality, which there's nothing wrong with. It is, quote, our gold standard. But that's designed for pharmaceutical drugs, which is a foreign agent coming into your body. And then they're looking to see if it's safe and if it does anything. When you study nutrients, it's already in your body or you're getting it in food. So we think it's much more interesting to ask the questions about whether or not these nutrients act with one another, as we know they must. So the impact of omega-3 with vitamin D and magnesium is the beginning of a much more interesting story and a better way for us to teach people how to take care of their own health and manage their nutrient loads, as long as they know their levels. If you don't know your levels, you can't do much about it.
Well, I think that's a very interesting point, and we're going to be discussing more about this and the impact of supplements versus medicine, because medicine has trials, and that is, and pharmaceutical industries do mention that they have been trialed, they've been tested, and we don't have the same kind of testing with supplements, do we?
We do, not just to the extent that it's mandated by law, but you will see, in particular with people who are on the raw ingredient side, that they are doing a lot of testing of their products in these controlled clinical trials, and that's important. But we also think that what we're doing with the nutrient field trials is even more important.
And who is involved in the nutrient field trials?
People like you and me. So the group that we partner with on this is called Grassroots Health, and anyone can enroll in the study. There is a fee, and you get your test. It's a blood spot test. You send that back and you fill out a very extensive questionnaire, and it's asking you all the right questions about your health status, but also if you take vitamin D and what kind of vitamin D, how much. And then over time, you participate every 6 months, and over time this data with this large group of people generates these amazing outcomes in terms of what we're able to ascertain about the impact of, in particular, vitamin D, and now with omega-3.
And if I would like to invite you to return with us to hear more about Karen Howard, Executive Director of Organic and Natural Health, based in Washington, when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY, Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11, offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus Swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobro, your host. Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. My guest this evening is Karen Howard, Executive Director of Organic and Natural Health Association, based in Washington, D.C., and she's held a variety of executive positions, including serving as professional staff for a congressional committee, and has policy expertise in the diverse areas of integrative and complementary medicine, managed care, healthcare technology, and mental health. And her mission is for her organization to bring consumers more answers to their health through better research. And just before we ended the last section of the program, you were talking about how people can enroll themselves in a study. Could you just go over that again?
Absolutely. So this is a great project that's been around for quite some time. It's run by Grassroots Health, which is an independent IRB research group in California. And they enroll people all year long into now a six-year project for vitamin D, where twice a year you purchase the vitamin D testing kit, and then you, with that, you do a blood spot test, send it back to them, fill out the survey, get your results back, and then they monitor your health status with you over time. So you're actually getting a really personalized report back on how your health compares to someone else in the cohort, and also to the public at large in terms of your risk of disease, your level of pain, because we've discovered that pain is diminished with good levels of vitamin D, your risk of heart disease. All of these indicators around what vitamin D can do for your health are evaluated in this research.
So are you?
And now we've added in omega-3 to that.
So are you indicating that vitamin D, the proper level of vitamin D, can help inhibit pain?
Yes.
Is that a finding in your study?
Absolutely.
That's amazing. I have never heard of that.
It is true. And so issues with MS, and actually there was a group that submitted a petition to FDA saying that vitamin D reduced the symptoms of MS, and it was not accepted by the agency. I don't know if that level of research was not sufficient or not. But we're using this research and its results that they're doing to put in petitions for health claims with FDA as well. We just submitted one that says, documented at a great study at the Medical University of South Carolina, where, first of all the doctors in the OB unit had virtually no vitamin D in their blood levels. So you educate the practitioners and then monitor those pregnant women throughout their pregnancies. And with vitamin D levels between 40 and 60, they experienced a 60% reduction in preterm birth. And this was a hospital that had a preterm birth every day.
That's an amazing statistic. Can you repeat that? That's amazing. Repeat that.
So you need your levels, and we tell almost everybody this. Look for your levels to be between 40 and 60 nanograms per milliliter, and that's where we saw the reduction of preterm birth of 60%.
So that vitamin D is very important to the well-being and health of our bodies, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Now, did these people who were taking the vitamin D in the study, did they also have a magnesium supplement or just vitamin D alone?
Just vitamin D in this particular study, because it really was focused on prenatal care.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So we spend about $12 billion a year in the cost of prenatal care in this country.
Mm. And this was helpful to preventing difficult births. Is that what you're saying?
So it's reducing the risk. I mean, obviously, it's not going to reduce the risk by 100%. There are other factors that fall into this. But there's one particular pharmaceutical that they recommend for women who are at high risk or have experienced a preterm birth, and it's something like $50,000. It costs $100 for an entire pregnancy to make sure that your vitamin D levels are basically where they need to be. And when you can reduce that kind of anguish and pain for a family for $100, that's pretty significant. So by having a petition and asking the FDA to say, we can say this about D, because right now we couldn't say that. It'd be against the law. If they approve that, then we could let everyone know across the country and all the practitioners that this should be part of the protocol and the standard of care for pregnant women. And to that point, the university itself has already said every woman who comes into our OB department will have their vitamin D level monitored from now on.
Well, I think that's excellent. And that if the pregnancy is helped and by extension, That means that you can avoid, perhaps, some difficult pregnancies which result in injury to the fetus or to the baby that's being born.
You're really changing the health of a whole new generation.
Yes, you are. And that is amazing. And repeat the cost? Did you say
$100?
$100 a year?
Mm-hmm. Well, a pregnancy.
Oh, a pregnancy. Well, that is truly amazing. Huh. It takes my breath away.
Well, and I can tell you one more. I mean,
yes.
Now we've gotten some preliminary research back on breast cancer risk.
Oh, yes.
So if you're 55 and over and you've got your vitamin D level even higher, like at a 60 nanogram per milliliter, we're seeing reductions in breast cancer rates of
80%. 80%?
Yeah. That research is still, you know, we've got two small studies in. We're not ready to go to the FDA with that one. But, yeah, this is the kind of results that are just, when I first heard the research that was going on in the vitamin D arena, I decided it was criminal that people didn't have this in their hands. There was one, a clinical trial, you know, the gold standard, that showed that when men who had a high Gleason score with half of that population did nothing, and they were in the watch case, you know, come back in a year and we'll measure you again. The other half took vitamin D and got their levels up, and the half that had high levels of vitamin D, their Gleason scores went down.
And I'm not sure, what is the Gleason score?
Well, that's a prostate cancer, you know, sort of watchdog. So men who are at risk of prostate cancer, that's one of the first things they do is they get a Gleason score in terms of, you know, is this sufficient enough to take further action? And there's a zone in there, like, well, maybe not, so we're going to wait. And as someone who was married to a person who had to go through that surgery, it's a fairly life-changing surgery, knowing that a vitamin D level could actually reduce a high Gleason score was, to me, like, incredibly telling.
Well, I think that's amazing. I don't think very many people are aware
people
of
don't
that.
Know. That's our job.
Yes. It's the first time I'm hearing it, and I do like to read about, you know, the importance of taking the right supplements and vitamin D, but I have not heard that statistic before. And it's a very inexpensive way to protect your health.
Very inexpensive.
Yes, and tell us more about what you have found about vitamins and supplements providing us with increased better health.
Well, I mean, I think we owe a little bit of time to the omega-3 story. I mean, 90% of the world is deficient in omega-3. So that's, you know, that's a heart-healthy, we all know, all our doctors tell us that this is a heart-healthy supplement. You'll see research that says no, but the reality is this pretty well documented that it is. And, you know, it's really good for brain health and developing babies, and they're thinking that it has relationships with dementia. So what we want to see now is, what does that mean for people? Because you can eat your way to a good omega-3 level, but it requires that you're eating 3 ounces of the right fish 3 times a week.
And what would be the right fish?
Sardines, mackerel, wild salmon, not farmed. And a lot of people don't like those fish, and they're expensive. They can be expensive. So, again, what are your options? And on our website that we've built for the population at whole, as nutrientpower.org, you can find all the ways to eat the right foods to get your supplement levels up. And at the same time, we already know that people are not very compliant about taking their omega-3s. So having your level, knowing your level, and being able to manage that, especially if you're not going to eat fish. And mine was low. I love these fish. But mine was only like at just about 5%, and you want to be at 8% and over of omega-3 in your blood. So to me, like, this is another one where if people can't eat the way they want to eat, and I know people say all the time you should be able to get all your vitamins and nutrients from food, but frankly, we've stripped our soil so much that that's even harder to do these days, not to mention our diet challenges. So to have this kind of information and be able to know that you can take a really good fish oil, krill, I take krill, and get my levels up, and I'm waiting now to see what my levels are now. I'm all excited about seeing what that is. And it keeps me honest with myself. It makes me take my fish oil every day.
Karen Howard, give us the website and where the people can locate more information about your organization.
I highly recommend people check out nutrientpower.org. It's really meant for you guys to learn about what the nutrients that we're deficient in are. You'll be surprised at some of them. One of them is iodine for a lot of people. So you'll learn about those, what those ingredients do in your body, and the food options that you have in terms of building up your health that way. And then if you're interested in terms of organic and natural and the association that has created all this, that's organicandnatural.org.
Organicandnatural.org.
Yes, and I highly recommend getting on our Facebook, because that's where you'll see us showing the studies that are really doing a good work at documenting the effectiveness of the nutrients through research, and somewhat coming back at, you know, there's so much conflicting information about the value of supplements, the regulatory aspect of supplements, and we use our Facebook to communicate with the public in terms of getting all this information out.
And how do they get in touch with you by Facebook?
Well, I just click the link. Go to Organic and Natural or NutrientPower.org, and all of our social media links are right there.
Organic and Natural.
Natural.org.
Very good. I think people will want to at least explore it and to see what information is there to help them augment the health and well-being of their lives. And at and supplements, how do supplements, when you look at it, supplements, how do they rate with the pharmacy in terms of expense?
Yeah, you know, it's a hard question to answer effectively, because most people are getting their pharmaceuticals through a pharmacist and their insurance. You really don't have as much option with that when you go and you pay for your supplements. The other thing I think is important to know is that sometimes price does matter, especially when you look at some of the omega-3s. There's a big, not so much the Ds. It's pretty much a common commodity on the shelf. But when you go in and you start trying to figure out which omega-3 you want to take, it can get really complicated. And oftentimes, the cheapest product on the shelf is not going to be the best. So I always tell people, if you have any kind of adverse, like burping or any kind of reaction to that fish oil, it's not that your body doesn't like fish oil. It's that you got a bad bottle of fish oil.
Well,
throw it away.
I want to thank you, Karen Howard, Executive Director of Organic and Natural Health Association, for your research on vitamins and supplements and for providing us with information to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Thank you, Karen Howard. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.